Good morning. Yo, yeah, we're together now. Man, a lot of guests. Thank you for those of you who have come to honor your mother or grandmother today. I know it means a lot to them, and it does to me as well. What have you done for your mother? Don't answer out loud. For the mother of my children, yesterday I spent 2.5 hours sailing with her. A thing she loves to do and I despise. I'm talking about garage sailing. Can anybody say, way to go, Larry? I'm ready to move back to the Midwest. Y'all have garage sales year-round. They stop in the wintertime up in the Midwest. It's like, oh, what a cruel place to live. Yeah, not so. I'm excited to share with you today from Proverbs 31. If you would open your Bibles there again, that would be great. I want to say a couple of things at the outset. One of them is to all the mothers here. I'm always a bit hesitant to come to Mother's Day, and frankly, guys, to come to Father's Day as well and preach a message just to and or for mothers and fathers. I remember as a kid walking through all those holidays for mothers and fathers, and then as a young father and father coming to the Father's Day messages and feeling like I was put on a guilt trip. And I don't want mothers to feel that way today, or fathers when it comes to Father's Day. When you read what you and I just walked through in Proverbs 31, can I just tell you, there ain't no such creature. Agreed? Moms, agreed? And who on earth would expect me to be and do all that? Well, it's only a goal to work toward. And it's like sanctification, becoming completely and fully like Jesus. That's our goal, to be Christ's followers and become like him. Church will never attain that in his life. And moms, I know you'll never attain it in your lifetime. Nor does God expect you to, and neither do I. So we're okay. Well, I feel it, the love here. We're okay, moms? Okay, good. Let me sort of show you the big picture. In the title of the book that we're in, it's called Proverbs. Proverbs comes from a root word, a couple of root words, which mean in essence, in the place of words. And it's like, you got to be kidding me, Larry. There are 31 chapters. They're all full of words. This cannot be in the place of words. Let me help you with that. In the place of sermons. Now, don't get too eager here. In the place of sermons, the Proverbs are distinct from all other books of the entire Bible. In their genre, they simply are succinct, pithy statements, not long verbiage. The Proverbs are not verbose. It's almost as if each proverb throughout all the 31 chapters stands alone. There is a sense in which they do, and that's okay. The Proverbs do not give us a broad picture on the issue that each one represents. They give us a succinct, pithy statement about the issue addressed. Another way of saying it is the Proverbs are not promises that fully express all that they are read or interpreted as expressing. They are rather general, short observations about life and do not address the exceptions. Let me just give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. As a boy, I remember being taught, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll be perfect. That's my kids. And that's the way it was addressed, as if you push button A, push button C, B, and C will always follow. No, that's not my kids. There are times when they jumped all the way to F because they were failing in what I thought I'd equip them to do. And not just my kids, me too. And would you own it as well with me, you too? So Proverbs are not intended to say, do A and B and you'll get C. They are intended to say, generally, this is the truth of the issue. They don't address exceptions to the issue. Does that help? Well, you're glad you came for that, I can tell. Let's come to the text. That's the big picture of Proverbs. Let's come to the text itself, Proverbs 31. It opens this way, the words of King Lemuel. Let me park there for a second. There is no Jewish history that records a king named Lemuel. So there are two explanations given historically. One is that Lemuel is a pen name for one of the kings, perhaps David, perhaps Solomon, perhaps another of the kings of Israel. I frankly don't lean toward that. I think Lemuel, and because of the language used throughout the 31st chapter, Lemuel was probably a Gentile who became a proselyte, a follower of Judaism. And so this king, of whom we have almost no history, writes this 31st chapter. But wait a minute. If you'll read that first verse with me again, you will discover that these aren't really the words of Lemuel, the king. These are the words of a king's mother. Watch this. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. I can just hear him with this mother as a boy. Sit down, son. I got some things to say to you. And as all boys, especially teenage, what have you got to teach me, Mom? Did your kids, and let me talk to the guys here for a second, you whose kids have grown up, do you remember the time when your sons tried to remove themselves from Mom's apron strings? That's an old way of saying we're trying to grow up a little bit too quickly. And when Mom would tell them to do something, they'd probably do the opposite. Elaine and I had a lot of conversations during those weeks and months and years that the guys were, we have two sons and one daughter, that the guys were teenagers trying to be men on their own. And there was a time when I specifically remember saying, "Hon, you've done a great job raising our sons. There is a sense in which it's my turn. I need to step in and show them how to be men as imperfectly as I am, as I would do it, and imperfect as I am. They're going to listen to Dad a little better at this point." And you'll see in a little bit, they should always be required to honor Mom. But I think there comes a time for dads to step up. And I hope that makes some sense to you, because at some point, it must have meant something to Lemuel the king, because Lemuel remembered what Mom said. And I'd like to show you the advice that this king's mother gave him, likely when he was a boy and he remembered it. He gives three quick things that she warned him about, and the first was, watch out for women. Why do you giggle? because there are certain kinds of women to watch out for. And without help, no young man is ready for that. He needs help to know. There are some who do not have your spiritual interest in view. I think probably since they were, if it's true, and I believe it probably is, that they were Gentile proselytes to Judaism, I think that mother and her son knew something about a guy named Samson. Hello? Watch out for those batting eyes. Watch out for those flattering words. Watch out for that woman who will say, "Lay in my lap and sleep." Watch out for that woman who will manipulate you, my son, and say to you, "Tell me the secret to your success." And that manipulative gal brought down one of the most powerful prophets of Israel. Yo? Yes. Watch out, Lemuel. You don't want to get drawn away by that kind of a gal. Watch out for wine. Now, I'm a Baptist. Some of you are free. And there are areas that I join you in that freedom. Let me just come at it this way. She said, "Lemuel, wine is not for kings." Because just a little bit of it can cause you to lose your senses for a moment. And there's too much at stake, Lemuel, to allow a moment as a king impacting an entire kingdom. There's too much at stake to let wine draw your senses away. Now, let me just come at it truthfully. There is nowhere in the Bible that says thou shalt not drink. So you are free. That's not a place for a yo. But church, while the Bible doesn't warn, does not say thou shalt not, the Bible is full of repeated warnings about the use of strong drink. And I think some have not been careful with heeding the warnings. And I think it was great for a mom to say to her son, "Look out, son. Kings are made of the same stuff we are. If his senses can be drawn away for a moment and it impact him, we are no different. We put our britches on the same way, guys. We are men whose senses can be impacted by wine. And it needs to be warned against. Without the letter of the law that the scriptures do not give, they're sufficient in themselves. I don't need to add to them. I just need to give the warning that the word gives. And so I lay it out in front of you and say, here's a mom who loved her son enough to say, look out for women. Look out for wine. And she also added a third thing by implication in the text, look out for wealth. A wise man in the Proverbs said, Lord, two things I ask of you. One is that you'd not make me rich lest I forget you and become self-sufficient. Remember a king who said, look what I have gotten, look what I have done, when he looked on his kingdom, he then had conquered the then known world, and all the wealth of the then known world was his. And he said, look what I have gotten, look what I have done. Oh my goodness, who gave the kingdom to the king? Hello, that's a question. God. Don't give me too much, God, lest I become self-sufficient and sense that I have no need of you. The arrogance of that. But he prayed another thing, don't make me poor. In essence, lest I covet. I think those are wise things to pray for, and this mother knew that. Don't let wealth or the lack thereof draw you away from humility in the presence of your great provider, God. Good cautions. Yeah, very good. There's a description given, a general one, in the text that was read to us about the right kind of woman that this mother wanted for her son. And that description is very simple. She is described as an excellent wife. Excellent is a key word here. From its etymology, its root, it comes from a couple of words when put together mean noble, virtuous, strong, wealthy. She's not talking about a wealthy woman by earthly standards, but a wealthy, strong, noble woman. And when you read that word excellent in this psalm, your mind should go to somebody like the Queen of Sheba. Do you remember when she came to Solomon, the most wealthy of all kings? She brought the best of her kingdom, and you can see her in her entourage as she goes to visit Solomon to find out if what she's told about his wealth and his wisdom is true. And as she comes, she has in front of her soldiers that protect her, beside her soldiers that protect her, behind her soldiers that surround her for protection. She's in a probably, as it was in that century, she was probably carried on the shoulders of slaves while she rode in this shaded, covered, not carriage because it didn't have wheels, whatever you want to call it. You help me. Conveyance? Poor guy. Anyway, she's borne along. Why? Because she's the queen. She need not walk in the desert heat and sun. With her are gems and jewels, fruit and vegetables, and wealth from her kingdom. And she comes as a royal, virtuous, strong woman to visit Solomon. And mom's saying to her son Lemuel, you need to look for this kind of a gal. So you can hear Lemuel, yeah, I want to marry a queen. Wealthy. All kinds of benefits that would give me. Oh, but wait, listen to mom, because she goes further than this to describe the kind of woman that she is. No, it's not a woman of wealth. It's not a woman of rubies. She is desired as worth far above rubies. That's how excellent she is. And you notice there's a KJV there, which means that that's the King James word, but rather there's more a generic word there, and it is jewels of any kind. Now watch this. She's so excellent as the queen that should be honored, that she's worth far more than any queens of this world. She's worth far more than all the jewels of all the queens of this world. Think Jared's. Think all the Jared's of this world. And all the diamonds and rubies and gems that are under glass in those stores. And Solomon's or Lemuel's mother said, "That's who this is, worth far more than all that." Why? Because of what she does. And she begins to describe what that kind of woman will do for you. First of all, she honors her husband. By the way, we're only picking three out of the 30 plus that are in this text, so relax. We won't be here more than two more hours. She honors her husband. And I wish I had an hour to park on this one with you, church. Ephesians 5:33 for me makes it absolutely clear the role of husband and the role of wife. As it relates to each other. Guys, do you know what your wife needs the most? I don't see a guy here nodding his head. Wives, do you know what your husband needs the most? It's all wrapped up in the command in Ephesians 5:33 that God gives to a man and the command that he gives to a woman. And through Paul's pen, he says to the man, guys, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And I'm convinced that the greatest need of every wife is not flowers on Mother's Day. Though that's a cool thing to do. Wish I'd thought of it. It is not to be taken out to dinner or lunch on Mother's Day, though if you want to invite us, you're welcome. You know what she needs most? She needs the security of your love. To know that she is number one in life to you outside of God's supreme position. She's the first horizontal. And you are safe in this relationship. What do guys need? Above all else, and it's not what you're thinking, ladies. Just leave me alone. What does he need? The command is, wives, see that you reverence, King James word, your husband. God wires men in such a way as needed to be above all by his wife, looked up to and revered, respected, and honored. I look back over almost 47 years of ministry now, and I looked at some, I can call some names in my head of men in our church that I thought were real mice. Hello, don't blow me out of the water for that statement. They just couldn't lead their way anywhere. But they were happy as could be. And I ask what made them happy, and all of them that I look back and see as non-leader type, but were happy, especially at home. Every one of them had a wife that made them think, he's my king. He's my, if you will, this will scare you to death, but with a small L, he's my Lord. Sarah called Abraham not Lord, but small L, Lord. She honored him. And every guy needs that. That's how we accomplish what he's called us to do, by the encouragement of being honored. And this gal, according to Lemuel's mother, is to be honored because she honors her husband, and she defines it this way. She does him good, that is, she benefits him, and not harm all the days, no injury to him, all the days of her life. Church, he never has to look over his shoulder and go backward to cover her tracks. He never, with this kind of wife, has to go back and undo what she's done because it's a harm to their reputation, the reputation of his home, and the reputation of him as the leader and shepherd of that home. And I know she's going to, I won't look her way right now because she'll give me that signal, but she won't appreciate my sharing it. But can I tell you, in 47 years of ministry, I've never once had to retreat and cover her tracks. Not one time. That says something about the kind of woman that God placed in my life that honors me. She's careful what she says and does because she wants to protect her husband as much as he wants to protect her. Does that make sense? Secondly, she's described as one who is a shrewd businesswoman. Please, 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 if I got your attention, please, please don't think Donald Trump here. Not the kind of shrewd guy that takes advantages of all the, what do you call those laws that let you get out of paying bills? Loopholes? Okay, we'll say that's what it is. Bankruptcy. Bankruptcy, thank you. It's not that, and I'm not throwing stones at those who have to walk through that. I'm simply saying in this text, don't think shrewd businessmen who climb on others to benefit themselves. Don't do that. That's not the kind of woman that's here. This is the kind that considers a field and buys it. And with the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. And somehow what she does prospers because she's the kind of woman in character whose life blesses others. And we'll talk about that in a second. Let me just say this here. I used to preach when I was very young that no woman should work outside the home. I would love to go back and apologize for much, if not most, of what I said when I was younger. How dumb. This text does not say that women should not work. This text makes it clear that the woman that she wants for her son is an industrious woman, even in the business realm. But I tell you what this text does address. I would just insert right here that in the context of Proverbs 31, she even travels to far countries. She went globally for business purposes. So that's silly to say women should not work outside the home. But I'll tell you what this proverb does teach. This woman that this mother longed for her son did not work outside the home for her identity. She did not work outside the home because she was frustrated with the kids at home. She did not work outside the home because she didn't feel fulfilled at home. Are you with me? Why did she work? Always for the good of her husband and the good of her children and the good of her servants even in her own household. It was for others, not for self. And even in the business realm, it's good to have a sense of fulfillment. I'm not challenging that, but this text says, the kind of woman you want for your son. And I'm grateful the kind of woman we have for our sons today. I think it's great grace from God that we prayed for all the years before our sons chose their spouses. By the way, in the Old Testament day, parents chose the spouses of their children. I think we ought to go back to that. And all the single people said, yeah. I heard yo. We had an Indian couple in one of the churches that we pastored. Before they were a couple, he was in America as a single man from India. He left at Christmas time to go home and visit his family. And he said, when I come back, I will have a wife. And we asked him who, and he said, I don't know. And when he came back with a wife that his parents had contracted with her parents for. And when ladies got to know her and saw the wonderful relationship they had, the ladies said to her, how on earth could you do that? And she said, who loves me more than my parents? Why would I not want them involved in my choice? I thought that was pretty wise. Okay. Leave it alone. I'm not advocating contracts. I'm just saying, don't make your choices without your parents. Why don't you get their advice? Good suggestion. Parents? Yes. Yeah. She is radically generous, this woman, and this is the last point. She makes a lot of money by investing in the fields and vineyards, and she travels to far countries, and she's received the profit from them with her husband, and he trusts her, and she opens her hand and reaches out her hands to the poor. You want to talk about a mom that's needed in this culture? We live in a world of consumerism and idolatry. We love our things and our stuff. And this mother said, watch, Lemuel. This is the kind of woman I want you to look for. The kind that reaches out toward the poor and shares a portion of that which she's entrusted with. 3 or 4 years ago, our son did a wonderful thing with his daughter. She was probably 13 or 14 years old. Before Christmas time, he had her make these knitted hats that you make on a loom-like thing. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, let me go get one and show you. You can make them in about 30 minutes, and he had her make 5 or 6 of them. And then Christmas morning, they lived in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. They went downtown under the bridge, right next to the river. And early on Christmas morning, he had her hand to the homeless people under the bridge who had spent the cold night there in December. Hand to them the hats that she had made. And when he told me that story, he said, Dad, we walked away. She handed out 5 or 6. We walked away, and I'll never forget the look on her face when she turned back and saw 5 or 6 people pulling the hat down over their heads to keep them warm, the hat she had made and gave. I want to tell you, that'll transform and has transformed that girl forever. Taking what God has given me and passing it on to people who need. Think maybe that's the need in Oakwood, in the community we live in. Oh, there are no poor here, I know. I'm about to starve to death. Bring me something. No, it's out there. Okay, your turn. So. Which being translated means finally. Moms, talk with your daughters about genuine beauty. It goes a whole lot deeper than skin. It's far more than creams and lotions and powders. Teach your daughter, please. Teach your daughters in this age that we live in not to dress to attract, but to dress to be attractive. There's a world of difference. Attractiveness resides in strength and beauty that's inward. But if the barn needs painted, paint it. Well, that went over big. I can tell. You get the point, right? There's a difference in the two. Dad, see that she is honored. That was something my dad was death on when I grew up. I only remember one time ever pushing back on my mother. And as soon as I did, my dad jumped in the middle. That will not happen in this home. That's your mother. That's my wife. She will be honored and praised. A couple of times, our grandkids have tried it. I was waiting for somebody to jump in and nobody did, so I did. Oh, no. I don't know who you're talking to, but I do know it better not be Grandma. Not like that. She will be respected in my presence. You want to talk about making a mom and a wife secure? Dad, step in when you should. Know the wisdom of making certain she is honored. And then kids, see that she is honored in your life, for that is the greatest commandment given you with promise, that your days may be long. You want to shorten your days? Is the opposite a warning in that? Then dishonor dad and mom. You want to lengthen them? Again, it's kind of a proverb here, but you want to lengthen them generally. It all is a result of how you honor and respect the authority God places over you as a child and beyond. Hello? Worth coming for? No. Would you stand with me, please? Father, what a joy to read about a mom who wanted so many good things in a mate for her son. We long for that for our children and our children's children, even to the third and fourth generation. We pray for that. And help us to be a church who comes alongside families and teaches them how to long for right things and pursue right things, not just for moms and wives, but for every member of the family. Our church will be strengthened as we strengthen families. Our nation will be strengthened as churches are strengthened by families. We look to you to transform families through our ministries. In Jesus' name, amen.